It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, I'm here. And you know, I had a feeling something like this would happen. It seems to be happening, well, no, it just happens so damned often that it happens that every time I plan to travel, something like this happens. And you know what like this is. This program's live. It is the 14th day of February, 2018. Valentine's Day. Yes, Valentine's Day. And there's been another massacre. To those listening in the far distant future, perhaps on another planet or in a different solar system, I'd like to offer you some sort of explanation for why here in this country, the United States of America, why we have these massacres, especially in schools. But I fear that anything that I say would be insufficient. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be on the air this evening, but then when I saw the news that had broken, I felt like I had to be. Probably won't be here for the entire 3 hours. I've still got, well, I mean, today was a lot of running around, car repairs, laundry, grocery shopping to, you know, so that I wouldn't leave Agnes in the lurch. Never did quite make it to the barber shop. If she can get me to sit still long enough, Agnes may actually trim my hair this evening after the program. It's mid-February, and I'm a little Viking gone to seed right now. But we all know what I'm talking about. It happened in Florida. The NRA's roulette wheel of agony and death stopped in Florida today. It stopped in particular at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. More on that in a moment. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, for letting me know both streams are up and running. Ordinarily, this would be the Valentine's Day edition of Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we'd be talking about the short work that the deacons made of the red velvet cake over on the dessert table in the fellowship hall. But I'm dispensing with all of that. I'm dispensing with the offertory prayer. And instead, we have this.
Holy.
That's not Baghdad. That's not Syria. That's not Yemen. That's a public high school in South Florida named for a brilliant woman who lived to be 108 years old. And almost single-handedly saved what is left of the natural ecosystem of South Florida. She struggled to save the Everglades. Her name was Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. That school was named for her in her honor, because of, among other things, her beliefs, her deep and abiding beliefs in the majesty of the natural world and in civil rights. But now her name is forever intertwined with agony. Her name is forever intertwined with death. She is embraced within the arms of a gun culture in the United States that, of course, values access to firearms more than it does children having access to an education, or, hell, children having access to being 20 years old. The alleged shooter is in custody. He has been tentatively identified as a 19-year-old young man. And all the usual questions obtain. Why would someone do something like this? Why Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida? And of course, there are no answers. There are indications that 19-year-old Nick Cruz, who was a former student at that school, may have actually been identified as a potential threat to fellow students in the past. One teacher has offered that information. One of his former math teachers told the Miami Herald, "We were told last year that he wasn't allowed on campus with a backpack on him. There were problems with him last year threatening students, and I guess he was asked to leave campus." One student mentioned having been in alternative school with him. Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat of Florida, has said that there are, and this is the word, many deaths as a result of this massacre. I suppose it will go down in the history of this nation, and particularly of Parkland, Florida, as the Valentine's Day Massacre in Parkland. There are facts, and then there are things that simply make you want to vomit. To wit, this. My prayers and condolences to the families of the victims of the terrible Florida shooting. No child, teacher, or anyone else
should ever feel unsafe in an American school.
I'm not joking. I read that and I became nauseated. Because it's one thing to say... It's one thing to say that it shouldn't happen. I can say that. I can say that it shouldn't happen because I have advocated for things that might go a long way toward keeping it from happening. You can say that because you've done the same thing. You've called for action on firearms. Sorry, Carol. Carol Baker noting, I'm assuming there was a fucking bear? No. This country needs neither the prayers nor the condolences of Donald Trump or any other goddamn Republican in this country. Because their prayers are hollow, their prayers are hypocritical. What I found so nauseating about Trump's tweet was that sentence, no child, teacher, or anyone else should ever feel unsafe in an American school. That sentence is on its face true. But you don't get to say that sentence if everything you do, if every breath you take, if every waking moment of your miserable, misbegotten life is spent in making sure that children, teachers, and anyone else do feel unsafe in an American school. We clear on that. Wolf Blitzer can stick his "we need to pray" where the sun don't shine. I understand that there are people, I mean, this is prayer meeting Wednesday, right? I understand that there are people who find personal comfort and solace in prayer. There are people who think that prayer actually affects the physical universe. Can't help you. Don't know why. No proof for it. But there are. And my purpose is not to be mean to them. But I live in West Virginia. And I come from a lineage that's been here for several hundred years. My ancestors were here when a woman named Mary Harris Jones was walking these hills, teaching hillbillies to stand up on their own hind legs and demand something resembling human decency. And to them, in the early portions of the 20th century, I believe, I don't think it was in the 19th, but to those hillbillies, in the midst of the mine wars, hillbillies whom she saw after an explosion in the mine, or a slate fall, or a fire, as she saw the families weeping over the bodies, she looked at them and said, "Pray for the dead. Fight like hell for the living." And that is where this nation comes up short. We are so broken, we are so shocked, we are so pathetic that all we can do is sit in horror-stricken little lumps and say things like, "My prayers and condolences to the families of the victims of the terrible Florida shooting." Bullshit. That man's never offered a sincere condolence or anything resembling a prayer in his entire sorry, never should have been born existence. I take that back. He probably has prayed. "Dear God, please make me richer. You know how wonderful I am." None of this touches him. It doesn't touch Mitch McConnell. It doesn't touch Paul Ryan. It doesn't touch any of the near countless number of Republicans who have received money from the Russian pass-through organization known as the National Rifle Association, America's most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization. It doesn't touch them. Sure, pray for the dead. But fight like hell for the living. That's the thing. In the immediate aftermath of another one of these NRA death lotteries, we're told to pray. And Republicans send thoughts and prayers. But you know what? You can pray anytime you want to. And being dead, you can pray for the dead morning, noon, or night. You can pray for them tomorrow. You can pray for them the day after tomorrow. You can pray for them 16 weeks from Sunday and every day in between. But make no mistake, whether it's Mary Harris' mother, Jones, saying, "Pray for the dead, but fight like hell for the living," or whether it is James, the brother of Jesus, saying, "Faith without works is dead." Well, all your praying and all your Miss Mayella, and it don't come to nothing. It don't come to nothing. So at least that's where my head is right now. All this sort of started unfolding at 2:30 this afternoon. And my phone started ding, 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 because I'm subscribed to several different news services, and they all said the same thing. There's been a shooting. A mass shooting. At a school in Florida. And like you probably, my first response was, "Oh no. Oh no. Not again." But then I pulled myself up short and I said, "What do you mean not again? Of course again." Because there's a major political party in this country that doesn't give a good goddamn how many of these things take place as long as their owners in the National Rifle Association, flush with Russian cash, remain happy. Oh, sure, it's a little embarrassing for the NRA. I mean, immediately after this happened. Well, somebody in charge of social media had to run lickety-split and take down the NRA's retweet of the Valentine's Day sale at a fucking gun store in Florida. You know, with a pretty little picture of you know, a Valentine's, a big bloody red Valentine's Day heart. You know, like the chocolates come in with a pair of what appeared to be 45 caliber semi-automatic handguns laying on it. They had to go and take that down because that was just in bad fucking form. And I come back to the same thing again. And there are, and I don't want to demoralize anybody. There are so many people. There are so many people who are pouring so much effort into trying to make a difference in this. There are people who are fighting like hell for the living. I think about Shannon Watts over at Moms Demand Action and the network of people that she has pulled together who are trying for all their worth to put enough pressure on politicians to make them finally do what ought not be so goddamn difficult to do, namely the right thing. But God Almighty, we still have Sandy Hook in our background, and nothing happened after Sandy Hook. Chris Murphy, Senator, Democrat from Connecticut, who I'm sure is severely lacking in ideological purity. Took to the floor of the Senate with, of course, a whole bunch of empty seats behind him. But he made a record. He went on record talking about this, even as this latest installment payment on the NRA's butcher's bill came due.
As we speak, there is a horrific scene playing out at a high school in South Florida. Turn on your television right now, you're going to see scenes of children running for their lives. What looks to be the 19th school shooting in this country, and we have not even hit March. I'm coming to the floor to talk about something else, but let me just note once again for my colleagues that this happens nowhere else other than the United States of America. This epidemic of mass slaughter, this scourge of school shooting after school shooting. It only happens here not because of coincidence, not because of bad luck, but as a consequence of our inaction. We are responsible for a level of mass atrocity that happens in this country with zero parallel anywhere else. As a parent, it scares me to death that this body doesn't take seriously the safety of my children.
I'm going to stop it right there. There had to be a Republican sitting up in the president of the Senate's chair. Somebody has to have a gavel in there at all times. Surprised he wasn't declared out of order. Let's hear that again.
As a parent, it scares me to death that this body doesn't take seriously the safety of my children.
This body, meaning the Senate of the United States, does not take seriously the safety of my children. Or of anyone else's children. At least the ones, you know, going out into the free fire zone of the American secondary educational system. Oh, and primary, too. He used the word horrific. Senator Murphy did. It is horrific. But it is also eminently predictable. It is, in lawyer speak, reasonably foreseeable. And his numbers are right. You know how it is with me and ciphering. So there's 31 days in January, so that's 31. This is the 14th, that's 35. 45. So we've had 45 days in 2018. So let's divide 45 by 19. That means we have had, oh God, we have had a school shooting every 2.3 days in 2018. We've had a school shooting every 2.3 days. Every 2.3 days, there's some more bloodlet in the name of making America great again. MAGA, y'all. MAGA. At what point does not taking the safety of our children seriously stop being a mere political observation or a social observation and become a statement of indictment? How many of these things have to happen before the well-heeled millionaires of the for-profit media start saying Mitch McConnell, the blood be upon your head and those of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren unto the ends of the earth. Amen. How long until Wolf Blitzer instead of telling us to pray, says Paul Ryan, the blood be upon thy head and upon the heads of thy children and grandchildren unto the ends of the earth. Amen. How long before, say, George Snuffleupagus over at ABC News tells Kellyanne Conway to go back and tell her boss that he said, the blood of these children be upon thy head and that of thy children and grandchildren unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Or is that just something we don't do? I mean, that's hardly fair. I have to see these people at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. Well, we have to talk to each other because, above all, we must have here in the United States of America civility. We have to be able to have civil conversations with people who do nothing while our children are gunned down like animals in our schools. Oh, goodness. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd, yes. Hung like Jesus says, the only thing that will make these fuckers see any kind of light is when, God forbid, their families get slaughtered wholesale in the streets. Anything short of that, forget about it. But of course, their children won't be in this position with the rest of us. Of course not. They're better than us. They don't face risks. Goodness me, Donald Trump Jr.'s
wife, Vanessa, opened an envelope a couple of days ago that had some white powder in it, and it was utterly harmless, but she still fell completely ill and had to be taken to the hospital with a terrible, debilitating case of the vapors.
Ron in Raleigh says, you wonder why this stuff happens? Apologists for the gun industry will grasp at any bullshit straw. They're beginning to announce a death toll. Young Master Cruz, the alleged shooter, was apparently someone of whom the National Rifle Association can be very proud, because he was an effective user of his Freedom Protector. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Again, from the Charlotte News and Observer, as shared with us by Ron in Raleigh. This was published February 13th, so say February 11th, 10th, you know, over the weekend. Someone named Andrew S. Barclay sat fuming and fulminating. Regarding the story, How Columbia, South Carolina Became a National Leader on Gun Control, in which reference is made to, quote, the scourge of gun violence that is the worst in the developed world, despite such gloomy reports in the media, the U.S. has virtually the same mass shooting death rate per capita as the European Union. Also note that the violent crime rate per capita was cut in half in the 25 years following 1990, although the number of guns in the U.S. increased greatly. Finally, since almost all mass shootings have occurred in so-called gun-free zones, why do we still have them? That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Silent R. Lamar pointing out where the NRA is concerned, Mitch McConnell said, till death do us part. Yeah, they happened in a gun-free zone. What we needed was more guns in there. The sheriff has announced that there are 17 dead children. 17 dead children at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And you heard the audio that I played. You heard the screaming. You heard the oh my God. Now imagine if everybody in that room had a gun. Yee-haw, Jesus! Nick Cruz has been disappeared from social media. It has been reported by other people who are in this business that before his profile was taken down by Twitter, he appeared to be a maggot. Yeah, he was a MAGA hat wearing Trumpansy. At least from the way that he portrayed himself. It watched the news, and maybe sometime about 3 o'clock in the morning they may point that out. They will not point that. They probably won't point that out during prime marketing hours. I mean, broadcast hours. Because then all the little maggots might get a sad. Yeah, that editorial cartoon did come to mind, Sparky. A drawing of Uncle Sam covering up a fat cat in a suit labeled NRA. Dead children lying all around. And Uncle Sam telling the NRA, "Everything's okay. You're safe." Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Steve and Kelly both wrote to tell me what the announced death toll was. Steve in New York says, "I'm going to disagree that these are reasonably foreseeable. They are certainly foreseeable." Reasonably foreseeable is a term used by the law to talk about things that can be rationally expected to be consequences of a given act. As in, it is reasonably foreseeable that for so long as we put gun ownership and the ruble-infested National Rifle Association ahead of the well-being of children, yes, it's reasonably foreseeable that we will have massacres in schools. But Steve is right. It's not reasonably foreseeable. It is certainly foreseeable. It is predictable within a margin of error that renders it statistically relevant. That's where we are. Yeah, Nick Cruz may have been a maggot on social media, but I'm sure he'll be an Obama-loving libtard, you know, by morning. Probably, his pictures will probably have sperm in his hair. You heard that, right? Started with the Hannity job and quickly metastasized over to Alex Jones. And it is now an article of faith in the wingnutosphere that the recently unveiled portrait of Barack Obama has a secret message in it. The artist done painted a sperm on his head. A reminder coming in from Albert in Rhode Island. Bob, during the campaign, Trump actually said that he wanted to repeal the law that makes school zones gun-free zones. Of course he did. Of course he did. So here we are. As I've been sitting here talking, breaking news has just crossed my feed that a bipartisan group of senators have agreed to an immigration plan that addresses the Dreamers and funding for the Great Big Stupid Wall. Trump will, of course, say that he has no interest in it. Because he enjoys seeing families destroyed. If I was a religious person, I'd say that this man was a devil. Not the devil, but a devil. A demon. Because no decent person can want to do the level of harm that he and his Republican colleagues are doing to this nation without being some sort of manifestation of almost pure unmitigated evil. Just can't. And it's always a challenge, a heartbreaking challenge. When one of these things happens, because in the immediate aftermath, you don't have the names of the victims. And so you can't even say attention must be paid and call out their names with love and respect one time. All you can do is acknowledge the horror of it. Our friend Haley in Arkansas noting the NRA death lottery has stopped on Parkland, Florida. Where will it stop 2.36 days from now? Or 4.72 days from now? No one knows. All we do know is that stop it will. Round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. But we do know it stops. It stops long enough to have the chips cleared off the felt, the bays, and a new round of bedding begin. Stephen, New York, just had an idea. A national campaign to send bars of soap to Wayne the Peter and all MOCs and senators that they can use to wash the blood off their hands. If I thought they'd get it, I'd say go for it. Well, they'd go for it, but they won't get it. Will be stopped at the postal sorting facility. I'm more of a mind of what PETA does. An activism campaign of throwing blood on them whenever you catch them out in public. Does them no harm. It's not a threat to life or limb. It's not violence. It's just making them appear in public the way they are where little dead school children are concerned. Won't happen, though. That would be uncivil. And we can't be uncivil in this discussion, of course. We've dealt with that a few minutes ago. Above all, we must remain civil about the willingness of the Republican Party to put our children on their blood-soaked altar to holy profit. You'll get some converts along the way, of course. It's not just Republicans. There are Democrats and independents out there who have cozied up to the National Rifle Association from time to time. I think about New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who now loudly bleats her progressive bona fides. But back when she was just a humble member of the House of Representatives, why, by golly, when it was time to campaign there in her upstate New York district where the mouth breathers and the knuckle walkers live and the proud Second Amendment patriots, she used to brag to them about how she kept a loaded gun under her bed. 'Cause freedom, MAGA. That was before MAGA. Nobody's hands are entirely clean. Mine certainly aren't. I've owned firearms. I don't now. I can say I've gone hunting in the woods and never harmed anything bigger than a pheasant that promptly went home and with me and got eaten. Kind of decided I didn't have much of a taste for spitting out the shot, though. But I've owned them. I didn't grow up with them. My father was never a hunter. My mother was hell on wheels with a hatchet. She had no compunction about going out and grabbing a chicken out of the coop and bringing it over to the old log and turning it into Sunday dinner. That's how things are in rural America, or were. Now we have underpaid immigrants to do that work for us. But I didn't grow up in a gun household. When I was a kid, the only gun we had in our house was the one that killed my brother. We talked about him a while back there. There's some conflict involved there. And the only reason that was in the house was that my father locked it in a briefcase with my brother's blood still on it. And said, I will not run the risk of this firearm ever doing again what it has done once. And after both of my parents had passed away, we took that firearm. And God knows if the little right-wingers that lurk at the far frontiers of this program will be grief-stricken, I'm sure. But we destroyed that firearm so that I could fulfill my father's wish that it never harm another. This isn't a discussion about whether or not people should hunt or have the right to hunt. This is a discussion about firearms that can be that have high capacities and can be used to do what we used to call unimaginable amounts of damage, but don't even have to be imagined now because we have the physical proof of the damage that can be done. This is about those weapons and how they get into the hands of, say, alleged murderer 19-year-old Nick Cruz, who was said by students and teachers to be a big gun guy. One student said he liked to shoot guns. I guess it made him feel powerful. Jack writes from Shreveport. Oops, I almost forgot. Florida. Took a little while this time, but my mood, my mind, finally took me to wondering how many of the families of those school kids have good health insurance plans. I bet you not all of them. And, of course, to the extent that there are survivors, their stories will remain untold about their struggle to come back to something resembling the normal, to the extent that normal is anything more than the setting on a dryer, lives before February 14th, 2018. The NRA won't be there. There won't be any senators. There won't be any members of Congress. The well-groomed millionaires of the for-profit media won't be there. Nope. It'll just be them and their parent or parents as they try to heal and as they are hounded relentlessly for payment for the medical treatment that they received for gunshot wounds that they did nothing to bring upon themselves. Hung Like Jesus says, my grandfather had guns and raised hogs in rural South Carolina. But guns were not toys, but tools, a means of putting food on the table. There was nothing manly about running with a gun, because any jackass can tote a gun. They were tools of necessity, tools of survival. Exactly, that's what they were for my ancestors. They were a tool of survival, just like a cane fishing pole with some line and a hook and a bobber. Tools. I suppose they're tools now, too, though, but the purposing of the tools has changed. Now they are tools with which disaffected children, disaffected young adults, almost always white and male, work out their aggression, work out their sadness, work out their anger, their fury, their fear, their insecurity. And a country that affords such tools for such ends, as Lincoln once said, cannot long stand. We talked about the proposed cuts to Medicaid last night. We've talked about proposed cuts to Medicare and Social Security. We've talked about the blue apron-like food boxes. And about how every one of these things marks our ongoing decline. Here's a Facebook post. I asked last night how the maggots and how the folk, all them white folks down in those Trumpansy countries, states rather, would take to the new idea for food boxes. Well, here you go. I like the idea. Less they can sell, they. And it stands more of a chance for the kids involved to actually have food in the home. Trump wants to cut out food stamps and replace them with boxes of non-perishable foods. This is awesome. No more abusing the program on steak and lobster. What did I tell you last night? Louis Gohmert, Alaskan King Crab Legs. If you don't like the free food you're receiving, then bust your ass like the rest of us and get a job! That's from some gang of maggots, some maggot group on Facebook called Informed Folks.
They've got jobs. They bust their asses at their jobs. But in the minds of the maggots, nobody deserves food assistance unless it's somebody they know that they're certain actually needs it. And certainly nobody with skin a color darker than a grocery bag. MAGA, y'all. And the same thing goes for our kids. Kids deserve to be safe at school. Unless there's some liberal kids. Then we're better off without them. MAGA. We're making America great again, one bullet at a time. Steve on the Gulf Coast writes in, the usual bullet in. Gonna check out for now. Being indisposed to a repetition of vicarious sorrows attending the predictable litany, may catch the podcast. I understand. I do. Because the aftermath of these things begins to resemble some sort of arcane and macabre ritual. But I'm damned to figure out how we don't talk about this when it's up in our face. I just don't. And that's not a criticism of you, Steve. I understand. But I had planned. I kind of needed to be out the door, but that didn't work out. Things got a little too hairy around here today. Too busy. And when this happened, like I said, I felt like I needed you guys. I don't know if you needed me, but I needed you. I needed some way to attempt to organize my thoughts, my absolutely useless thoughts. I needed some way to deal with the fact that I know that it's going to happen again in 2.36 days, and 2.36 days after that, and 2.36 days after that. It'll happen in Florida and Idaho and California and Kansas and yeah. So I thank you for being here, and I thank you for hanging out. If anybody wants to offer, I mean, people have been writing, emailing, tweeting. Chat rooming. But if anybody wants to call in real quick, you're welcome to, but I'll tell you truly, I do have stuff that I have to do because we have to be out of here, Ferg and I, at like, you know, plane leaves at 7. We got to be out of here at 4. And to be quite candid, I have a splitting headache. Started coming on about 2:30 this afternoon. That's not me jumping up on the cross. But it is, it's for real.
probably crush up some ibuprofen and snort it off the desktop here for the refreshing burst of flavor. That's a joke. But of all the most frustrating aspects of this, once you and there's no beginning to get over the heartache involved, but when you realize that an organization that is that is being investigated by Robert Mueller for passing through Russian money into the 2016 campaign, when you realize that they have everything short of title ownership of a little over half the politicians in the Congress. Then beyond the determination of organizations like Moms Demand and Everytown USA, that we're not likely to see any change in the immediate future. Well, Hung Like Jesus just told me, do you know that Parkland, Florida was named safest city in Florida last year? Think about that. But I think I will. I think I'll pack it in for the night. And I'll thank you all for stopping by. I just got the go-ahead from Steve from Georgia Stan. Call tonight, Bob. And Anatole in the chat room. Pack it up for the night, Mr. Bob. Come back to us healthy. I plan to. I hope to. And just as a reminder, the next program will be Tuesday, the 20th. Tuesday, the 20th of February. So thanks, everybody. I hope this wasn't just a general venting. I hope this was helpful in some small degree to y'all. And who knows? Hey, it's Wednesday. Who knows what Thursday and Friday will hold? Who knows indeed? But I'll probably be doing a little tweeting and Facebooking along the way as time permits. Country Mouse in the City is always fun. I'll try to keep my goalies to a minimum. You understand. Y'all have a good remainder of your week. And thanks to everybody. And by the way, thank you very kindly. We finished fundraising for the week. Thank you very much. Oh, I was about to screw up something fierce. I do owe thanks on the way out the door to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to James in California. Thank you also to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. And thanks to Matt in San Francisco. And hey, we've got a new Patreon subscriber. Thanks very kindly to Irwin for kicking in on a monthly basis over at Patreon. Thank you, Irwin. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility Chat Room Moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. And thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great remainder of the week, everybody. Catch you on Tuesday.